everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. I'm Brandon, and with me is the guy that loves to scrapbook the 90s, Cortland. How are you doing, Cortland?
I'm doing good, Brandon. Man, I wish I did scrapbook the 90s. Memories.
I know. I would never stop looking at it.
I love looking at old pictures, so like it's right up my alley. But the fact is, I would probably never scrapbook anything because that's a lot of work. Okay. Did you see that scrapbook? That Biddle boy was going ham on that thing. He did a great job.
Yeah. Like he spent all of his time scrapbooking. So much of his time that he wasn't experiencing the 90s, you know?
Oh, it's a damn shame. But at least we could experience the 90s through his scrapbook.
That's right.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, forever and always. Cortland?
Yeah?
How are you doing this week?
I'm tired, but I'm doing good because I watched Goosebumps, right. And Goosebumps is great.
Goosebumps is great. I'm really happy with where Goosebumps is as a property.
Yeah, me too. R.L. Stine's kicking it on Twitter, promoting his books, doing great. And I say, you know what, R.L. Stine, I love you. You can do great, okay?
Yes, R.L. Stine, we love you so much. Please be on this podcast.
Yes. Please.
Well, let's just get into it, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, we got a whole ass episode.
Today we're talking about episode 6 of Goosebumps 2023, and this is the one, Cortland.
Okay.
This is the fucking episode. This is Night of the Living Dummy.
This is the beginning of the end. Yeah.
This is the one everybody's been waiting for.
Yeah.
And it's finally here.
The old slapstick.
It's all leading up to this, even though we're like halfway through.
Right.
So what did you think of this episode?
I thought it was a good episode, Brandon. I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, I liked it as well. And this episode's quite a departure because it's almost entirely flashback.
Right. Yeah, we even get like a black and white flashback. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, I knew we needed this backstory. I mean,
yeah,
it answers a lot of the... Does it answer a lot of questions? It answers some of the questions that I had. I mean, most of my questions focus around the parent drama, which, like, it answers some of that, sure. But I still need more context. But yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought it was a great way to introduce Slappy into the mix, and it's good.
It's good stuff. So let's start from the top here.
Okay.
We're where we left off last time, where the whole gang of kids is in Justin Long's house, and he's ready to sit them down and tell them the deets of how he met their mother.
Yeah, he does. Yep. All of their mothers, so, yes.
Yes, everyone's mothers. Margo gives him back the scrapbook. He's like, oh, can I please have that back? Because, you know, he put a lot of work into that shit.
Can we just talk about how amazing Justin Long is? Like, I never knew how much I love Justin Long until I watched this. And he's in a lot of horror movies recently. Like, one's called Barbarian,
I think. Did you see Barbarian?
No, I haven't. But a couple of people have recommended me to watch it because Justin Long is in it. And he does a really good job in it. And I feel compelled now. I'm on the Justin Long train, okay? I gotta see what's up with that.
Yeah. The Justin Long train never stopped around these parts. Justin Long starts to tell his story, which, you know, you might think starts in 1993, but no, he's going all the way back to 1925.
Oh my goodness.
In New York City.
Yeah, because he's all like the great grandfather of that Biddle boy, Harold Biddle. Let's start with that. And I'm like, all right, Justin Long, let's do it.
Yeah. I'm strapped in. I'm ready to go wherever you take me, Justin Long. So now we're treated to a black and white scene.
Yeah.
You know, it looks very 1920s. And we see a magician on a stage. And this magician just fucking sucks. And the audience is not impressed.
He's the worst.
They're just like, do tricks. And then he does. And they're like, boo.
It wasn't good enough yet.
Yeah. So he gets the idea to go to a magic shop to get something new for his act. But the lady at the store is like, dude, you don't have enough money. Get lost. Mm-hmm. But as the magician, whose name is Ephraim, as he's about to leave the store, he sees a little bit of a ventriloquist dummy-shaped box.
Weird. I wonder what's inside.
And it calls out to him. It's like, hey, buddy, over here.
Sure does.
So he buys it, and he takes it home to his wife, who is also not impressed. So Everyone hates this guy. He sucks at everything. Inside that dummy's pocket, as he's taking a little look over the dummy, he finds a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And that piece of paper has, you know, everyone knows.
Yeah, Kalama Lama, Marodoru, etc. Boom, Slappy's back.
Yeah, it's got the little curse on it. And he reads it aloud because everyone is just compelled
to
read it aloud. No one can read in their head.
Look, Brandon, every time we've seen this little slap of paper, it's got words on it, and the person has to read them out loud. They can't read it in their head. It's impossible, okay?
No. They see those words, and they're like, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, what?
Yep. Gotta happen.
So, yeah. Slappy comes to life. His eyes snap open, and...
Only when he's not looking, though, for a minute.
Yeah, of course. He always waits a little bit. He doesn't want to just come out and be like, hey, I'm alive.
Nah, that's not his biz, you know? It's not his MO.
He eases people into the transition of there being an evil dummy, which I appreciate. Now we get our boring intro.
Oh, right, right.
And it's still boring. Mm-hmm. And then we're back.
Oh, good.
To the episode.
Okay.
And we're still in the past, and we see the magician doing an act with the dummy, and he still sucks.
He's awful.
Because he's like, hey, it's me, I'm a dummy. And it's bad. But then Slappy starts to talk for real, and he starts roasting the magician, and good. The audience loves it.
I'm so glad that Slappy roasted him, just like he roasted that family in the Goosebumps episode, Night of Living Dummy 2. My favorite portion of that episode, where he's like, Mom's a fat sow.
Yeah, sassy Slappy is the best Slappy.
He really is.
His voice is way different in this.
Yeah, he's British, so he's evil.
Yeah, way different than Jack Black's interpretation or the TV series. He's like, oh, you're stupid.
Yeah, it's a much different tone for Slappy, which, you know what, I kind of appreciate that too, because this is a different tone for Goosebumps entirely. So I'm glad he has a more serious tone and voice.
Right. So now we've got a very sophisticated, like, oh, shut up, booger brains.
Yeah, right. And I'm here for that.
Slappy convinces the magician that they're just going to be famous together if they work together, and they do. We get a montage of Slappy and him becoming more and more famous. And, you know, during that montage, we also see some clips of Ephraim's wife being like, it's Slappy or me? And he's like, it's Slappy.
Yeah, I didn't expect that, but which okay. Is
cold as ice.
Yeah. I thought we were going to be a little bit sympathetic with the Biddle grandfather, you know, but no, he just abandoned his family for fame and Slappies. I don't know.
I mean, he was a loser. Now he's got a taste of the high life and he's not letting it go.
Crazy. All right.
Doesn't excuse it, but it explains it. So now we move into the 50s and on through the 60s, and now we're in color.
Oh, I love that when it transitions from black and white to color in the 50s. I thought it was beautiful. So simple it's and nice so effective.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, that is when the world turned color. Nice detail that you added.
Yeah.
We see in a dressing room, the magician's manager is like, hey, Ephraim, you know, maybe you should take a break and maybe Slappy can do this act by himself. Mm-hmm. Which is weird. Like, does he know Slappy's magic?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because otherwise that is an absurd request. But anyway, Slappy's like, hey, this guy's trying to fuck with our act, so do that thing. And Ephraim's like, yes, I know the thing. So he he says some more slippy, whippy words, and the manager turns into a goddamn dummy.
Yes, I thought he was force choking him for a second, but no, he's turning him into a dummy. Just like what happened to Hayden Christensen in Night of the Living Dummy Part 3.
Yeah, except it looks way better.
Yeah. It does. Except it's updated for 2023.
Yes. It doesn't look like a low-budget Fox Kids show.
Yeah, weird what money does.
So later on, we see that Slappy is using Ephraim to do something. He's got some kind of plan. He's like, hey, read this note, Ephraim. Okay. And it's got more cursed words on it. And Ephraim, like, starts to read it, but he sees visions of a fire. So he's like, no way. I don't want to do this. And he locks Slappy in a trunk.
Now he's fighting back against Slappy.
Then 2 weeks later, Ephraim buys that lodge that we've seen from the first episode, the Biddle House.
Ah, yes, the Biddle House.
Yes. A little bit of time passes, and now Ephraim's old.
Oh, no.
And he's like, I'm going to put you where no one's ever going to find you. And he puts him in a wall and closes him in.
Yeah, he, like, mortar and pedestals those bricks together. Why did it take him so long to, like, get rid of Slappy? Because he closed the trunk on him and then presumably... Because he was getting
rich, girl!
Yeah, but like, presume he's already rich because he had a really successful career throughout the 20s, 30s, and 40s and 50s.
Yeah, but you can always be more rich.
Oh, yeah, I never thought of that. But like, it kind of implements that he hasn't used Slappy for a while. And then now he's like, all right, I'm about to die probably. So I'm just going to seal you up in a wall. Why didn't you just seal him from the wall in the first place?
It's a good question. It's a good question.
That's fine.
You get in, you make your millions, and you put Slappy in a wall.
Everybody knows that when you buy a new house, you open up one of the walls and you put a secret something-something in there so that the next owners can find it and be like, what the hell is this doing in here? It's like first-grade stuff.
You're like, all right, make me rich. I'm done with you. You're getting the Edgar Allan Poe treatment. Adios.
Yeah. I don't know. It's fine. You know what? It doesn't fucking matter.
Yes. Oh, so back in the present, the kids are losing interest in this story. So Justin Long moves things into the 90s.
Oh, good. I'm invested again.
Which is signified by Radiohead playing Creep. And you're like, yes, I know exactly where we are.
It's not quite I Saw the Sign because we're not in 1996. We're 1993, where Radiohead's Creep was all the rage.
It's still all the rage.
I do like that song.
The Biddle family, the 90s Biddle family, is moving into that lodge. And they're new in town. They've moved here from somewhere. We don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Biddle's dad is like, Harold Biddle, you're going to love it in Port Lawrence. And no one is going to kill you or bully you or anything. We get little comments here about that wherever they moved from, Harold was having a rough go of it.
Yes, he was relentlessly bullied. Yeah.
So they're hoping that things are going to be better now. They go down into the basement of the house, and Harold is like, oh, cool, a new place for my worms.
Yep.
And his mom is like, maybe you could, like, get a new pet, but Harold loves his goddamn worms.
They're the coolest shit. They wiggle and everything.
Yeah, so Harold is an author insert for Carl Stein.
Right.
Later, Harold's dad comes up to his room and asks him about school. And he's like, Harold, nobody's going to bully you in your new school. Just to make sure of it, I'm going to give you this old camera and everybody's going to think you're cool. Because that's how it works. That's
how
high school works.
That camera's pretty dope though, Brandon. Did you see it? It like pops up into a camera. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It is dope. I'd use that now.
Me too.
We're at school now, and we see Harold walk in nervously. And everyone has side ponytails and blossom hats, and it's very cool. Mm-hmm. And he sees their sign-ups for a photo club. And Nora is the one taking the sign-ups. And she's like, oh, you got a camera? You're in.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a fun little interaction where she's like, we only take serious photographers. And he's like, well, how long have you been taking pictures? And she's like, oh, like a couple months. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I like this.
Harold sees Sarah, which is Margot's mom.
Yes.
And he's instantly in love with her.
Yeah. So Harold sees Margot's mom, pre-Margot.
Yeah. He's like, whoa, are you Margot's mom? We see the two of them later on in the dark room. This must be, you know, I don't know how much later, but it's later. He's telling her about his photography and how he's a tortured genius. And she's like, oh, man, this is cool. She invites him to a party, but he declines because he doesn't think he's cool enough. But then he changes his mind and he thinks maybe he will go.
He changes his mind because we need a montage of him in different clothes.
Oh, yeah. We get a changing clothes montage, and it's playing the Proclaimers song about walking a certain amount of miles.
Roughly 500, I think, yeah?
Yeah, somewhere in that vicinity, the ballpark of 500 miles, and it's great. And the next day, Harold's dad asks about the party, but it turns out that Harold changed his mind again because he didn't go.
That's what bullying will do to you, man. Breaks your confidence.
He thinks that Sarah doesn't even like him, even though she very obviously does.
Right.
He gets mad and he starts throwing shit at the wall. And he makes a little hole in the wall. And he's like, I see a little something something in there. So he goes and has a look, and it's a dummy box.
What?
But you didn't see that coming.
No, I thought the dummy was going to be in there for eternity.
Harold gets that box out and he shows Slappy to his parents, and they are fucking terrified by it because he's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And also they know that this is going to make things even more difficult for their son.
Yeah. So a couple of things I want to talk about. The dynamic with the family. Harold's mom and dad are like the most supportive people I've ever seen in the 90s, you know, or fake 90s. All they want to do is make sure that Harold is happy. They're just so sweet, you know. And Harold, unfortunately, got bullied and his self-confidence is really far down. And like, you know, he can't appreciate them because it's 1993. You just didn't appreciate your parents back then. Slappy, I think he looks really good, Brandon. I think it's a very well-crafted, you know, not quite as jaggedy as the 90s TV series, but not as smooth as like the movie Slappy. I think it's a really nice mix.
I think he looks more like an actual dummy than the TV show one.
Yeah.
Harold finds that little slip of paper with the cursed words on it.
What does he do?
And he starts to read it.
Oh, out loud. No, Harold, come on.
Because you have to. He thinks about taking Slappy to school to do a performance art piece, and his parents try their hardest to convince him not to, but he doesn't listen.
Look, the mom and dad are like, Harold, this will be social suicide. Please don't do this. And he's like, nah, I'm going
to
do it.
We cut to school, and we see some kids doing a dramatic performance of Glengarry Glen Ross, which is just lovely because they have to do it without using any swear words. There's a lot of swear words.
Yeah, they changed fuck to flip, I think, and it's great.
Yeah. Then Harold goes up with Slappy, and he starts to do ventriloquism. And he does it badly because he's literally doing it for the first time in front of his fellow students.
It's so bad.
He's very confident that he can just sit down and be an expert at this. And I don't know why. I don't know how he got so confident. But yeah, he sucks.
His lips are flapping all over the place. Oof.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Slappy. I mean, hey, Slappy. How's it going? Then Slappy comes alive, as he does, and he roasts Harold, and the people love it.
Oh, they do, yeah.
Later on at lunch, Harold is the life of the party, and Sarah even touches his hand.
Oh, yeah, I do love that, because like, we cut to him like at the like end of a joke, and everybody laughs, and I'm like, classic.
Yeah. Sarah asks about the winter formal, and she wants Harold to ask her, but Harold doesn't get the hint, and so she just goes away. Mm-hmm. Later, Nora walks in on Slappy and Harold talking in an empty classroom.
Oh, jeez.
So she sees Slappy being alive, and she runs away, and Slappy's like, oh, shit, something is different about that Nora girl.
Yeah. I don't really get what he was referring here. Like, you guys fucked up, okay? She's not different. She saw you talking because you didn't like hide it at all. Like,
yeah, if literally anyone seen a dummy talking to a person, they would be like, oh, that's weird.
They would do exactly what Nora did. They would run away.
I'm guessing this is foreshadowing something about Nora being some kind of psychic or something.
Yeah, which like makes sense. We got a little bit of it when she accidentally watched Isaiah go through hell for a second. So like, yeah, we knew something was coming with it.
She's definitely more connected to this somehow. I don't know. Anyway, Nora goes to Sarah to tell her about it. And Sarah is like, shut up. And
she really
the
is.
The next day, Harold's parents have a talk with him about Slappy because Harold is spending a lot of time with that dummy. Mm-hmm. And Harold is like, I need Slappy. So we cut to his parents putting Slappy in the fireplace.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Because they're like, just one day. Don't take him to school. And he's like, all right, whatever. They put him in the fireplace.
They figure they'll just buy him a car and bygones will be bygones. But Slappy won't burn. He doesn't burn in the fire. Something about him. I don't know.
Weird.
Harold comes in now and he freaks the fuck out. He's like, oh, that's it. I'm doing the thing. So he says the slippy, shibby, mibby words, and his parents turn into dummies.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
I started to see it coming just as it was about to happen because I remembered that Harold seemed to be living in the house by himself at the end. And I was like, oh, do they get killed somehow? And yes, they do. I mean, I assume this is irreversible, right? They're just dummies and they're dead.
I don't know. Hayden Christensen came back from it.
Well, if Hayden Christensen can do it, anyone can do it.
That's how I live my life.
I'm just kidding, Hayden. Please be on this podcast.
Hayden, you can be on the podcast, buddy.
Please talk about episode 7 of this series with us without context. Just be
I'd be fine with Hayden Christensen being on the podcast. I would actually love it.
Yeah, that would be great. In the present now, the kids are like, oh, so Harold sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Justin Long, who you remember is Harold because he ate his ghost.
Yes.
Is like, nuh-uh, Harold's great.
I love this, yeah. That's great. Justin Long's amazing. Justin Long, if you want to be on a podcast.
Yes, Justin Long, please. Anyone, please. So back in 1993, Harold and Slappy are performing in the talent show or whatever. Harold just starts reading from his burn book to all the other students in the audience. He's like, oh, this person hit someone else's car. This person banged this other person. You know, he's just telling, he's spilling some tea. And the kids aren't liking this performance that much.
No. So, like, he roasts specifically the parents of our main cast of heroes. And the Burns are very scandalous, Brandon. And he's like, James's mom, you're a whore.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. Isabella's mom, you got anger issues. I don't remember exactly what he says, but it's good stuff. It's not quite Book of Brains, but I'll give it a pass.
Yeah. So now Sarah's friends are pissed at her because Sarah's the one who told Harold all these juicy secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold burns the rest of his bridges by like getting upset at Sarah and being like, fuck you, I'm out. So
yeah. Nobody. He's only got Slappy.
He's got just the slaps. The kids decide then and there that Slappy is at the bottom of this. He's the source of all of Harold's popularity and power. So he needs to go.
Yep. And what are they going to do about it?
Now we're back at the Biddle house. And we see kids go into the basement. They find Slappy. That creates an earthquake for some reason. I don't know why. And then we just kind of see what we have already seen like a few times now. Harold falls down the stairs. A fire starts. The kids run away to protect their reputations. We've all seen this before.
Yeah.
But what we didn't see now is that the kids have the dummy chest.
Well, let me say, so we do get to see, like, the beginning opening night of Goosebumps again, but we get to see it from, like, the parents' perspective, which is really weird that, like, Harold Biddle would be telling this side of the story because he wasn't there for it, but mm-hmm. we see, like, Isaiah's dad was the one that found the dummy, and then the dummy's like, hey, I'm actually alive, and he's like, oh, fuck this. And when Harold falls down the stairs, instead of like scaring him falling down the stairs, it's them trying to be like, hey, don't go down there. There's a big scary dummy down there. We're trying to help you kind of thing. So like you get a different perspective of it. Like they didn't mean to kill him. They're trying to kill Slappy.
Yeah. But from his twisted dead person brain was all their faults.
Yeah.
And I guess like he could see it from other perspectives because he has the scrapbook. He can blue skidoo back into the past and.
But he's the one that wrote the scrapbook, so it should still be from his perspective.
Yeah, I guess that's true. He could just be like, and then they were evil. So it is.
but you know what? It's fine. Like, I'm not complaining, but it seems odd. It's fine. Keep going, Brandon.
Okay. So yeah, Slappy pops out of that trunk, and Isaiah's dad kicks the shit out of him. And Nora is like, all right, we got to bury this doll. We got to get rid of him. And they all stand in front of that burning house and decide that they can never talk about what happened that night to anyone.
Yep.
So we're back in the present now, and the kids are all like, whew, so our parents aren't murderers.
Yeah.
And Justin Long is like, wait, no, your parents are the worst. That was the point of this whole story.
Love it. Yeah.
Oh, he gets really emotional. He's really upset. And then Margo's like, wait a second, Justin Long, how do you know all of this? And then Justin is like, oh, yeah, because I'm not actually Justin Long. I'm Harold Biddle.
Yeah.
And he explodes into that fire ghost. And everyone is like, oh, fuck. And then the Smashing Pumpkins play us out to the credits.
Smashing Pumpkins can play us out to the credits every time. I love Smashing Pumpkins. But yeah, that was the episode. It was fun one. For an episode that's all just backstory, I think it was done really well. Very captivating. Yeah.
It's fun. A lot of visual, fun little gags.
Mm-hmm.
So, where do you think it's going from here?
Well, we still have 4 episodes left.
So many. It's like an entire Are You Afraid of the Dark reboot.
Yeah. And they have a lot going right now, because we still don't have Slappy in present day. So definitely going to get some Slappy again. Will it be in the next episode, though? I don't know, because we don't even know where Slappy is. Nora's still in the loony bin. And I don't know what's going to happen. Like, what's the next episode called?
Cortland, the next episode is called Give Yourself Goosebumps. Oh. So it's named after the Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Interesting.
So okay. I don't know what that means for the story.
I don't know.
Interesting. Well, all right.
I will say, like, what I think is going to happen next is they're going to run out of the Biddle House. Like, I feel like this is a cliffhanger ending, just like we had when, you know, James exploded into goo. And then it was very quickly swept under the rug and resolved. So I'm sure that the kids are just going to be like, okay, Justin Long's sizzled body. We're going to go now. And they're just going to leave. And then they'll probably talk to Nora and say, hey, where'd you hide that dummy? We just know about it. Don't worry about it, though. And it'll probably be an episode of, like, tracking down where the dummy is. And they're going to give themselves goosebumps when they find out where it's at.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm still very – I say this every fucking episode, Brandon. I'm still really much invested into it. I really enjoy it. And I think it was a great one. One thing I found hilarious, though, is they did a story within a story better than Are You Afraid of the Dark did with their reboot seasons. This is more of an Are You Afraid of the Dark episode than the reboots.
Yeah, I kind of had the same thought. Like, a few times in this episode, it cut back to the kids and Justin Long, and it reminded me of them telling the stories by the fire. And I was like, you know, that would be really cool if we could see that again in Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah. Hopefully there's another season of that, by the way, because they still haven't, like, announced it yet. I thought they were going to have one ready for Halloween, but it's come and gone. So hopefully next year they'll have a series four or season four of the reboots. But we'll see what happens. You know what? I'll shut up now. We're in Goosebumps, okay? Goosebumps territory. Yeah.
Get out of here, Are You Afraid of the Dark? You're not allowed.
No, well.
Please, more Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah,
give us more content. Yeah, so that's next week. Okay. We'll give ourselves some goosebumps.
Okay, I'll do it.
That's it for Night of the Living Dummy for now.
Yeah, we'll get Slappy again later. Maybe next episode, who knows? We'll
get Slappy. But we'll be back next week.
All right, sounds good. I'll be here.
All right, bye everybody.
Bye.